To start off, just a little background on the NLRB. As everybody, I'm sure, knows, the NLRB is the agency that kind of oversees all disputes that arise in the private sector, other than airlines and railroads. The NLRB, the board itself, is comprised of five members that sit as sort of an appellate court over all NLRB cases and disputes. There are five seats on the NLRB. Currently, only three of those are filled. And as Rod will tell you later, they're all three Republicans, which has, of course, resulted in some changes in the board recently. John Ring is the chairman. I believe he was appointed in 2018, and he put in a plug, is a former partner at Morgan Lewis. William Emanuel, I believe his five-year term is set to expire this August. He also was a private labor lawyer in the private sector and is obviously very Republican and management-oriented. And then finally, Marvin Kaplan. Marvin, I guess to the extent we have a moderate on the NLRB, would be the moderate. He has a history of working for various federal agencies, but is also a Republican appointee. The other two vacancies will probably not be filled. In fact, I think you can bet they will not be filled until sometime after the election. So I think we're going to have this three-person board, at least for the foreseeable future. The general counsel is Peter Robb. The general counsel is sort of the district attorney for the NLRB. He oversees operations in the 33 regional offices and prosecutes cases on behalf of the NLRB. Peter Robb came out of, I believe, Proskauer Rose, and is also a Republican and fair to say management side. So that's kind of where we stand. He also, by the way, can issue advice memoranda, which he has done to provide guidance to the various regional directors. So that's where we stand on the board and the general counsel. And now, Rob, up to you. Rod.
Thank you, Bob. And thank you, Melinda, for that welcoming introduction. I'm going to cover a few cases at this point that are certainly very important under the statutory scheme of collective bargaining embodied in the National Labor Relations Act. And as Bob will also note in this particular webcast, there have been a number of recent developments that have been pretty dramatic in terms of its impact on the obligations and the rights of employers, employees, and labor organizations under the statute. With respect to the contract coverage standard, that is a new standard that the board just adopted in September of 2019. Under many circumstances, employers violate the National Labor Relations Act by unilaterally changing terms and conditions of employment when a collective bargaining agreement between the employer and a union is in effect. Generally speaking, unions have a right to bargain over changes in terms and conditions of employment or proposed changes by an employer. Under the MV transportation decision, which was decided in September, now an employer does not violate the NLRA's prohibition against unilateral changes if the collective bargaining agreement grants the employer the right to take an action without first bargaining with the union. And the definitional status of what constitutes coverage has certainly changed. Until recently, until the MB transportation decision, the board applied a long-standing, clear and unmistakable waiver standard in determining whether a contract gives an employer the right to make changes unilaterally. Under that standard, an employer was found to have violated the statute unless a provision of the agreement specifically referred to the type of employer decision in question or mention the specific type of factual situation the case presented. The clear and unmistakable waiver standard is certainly a very high bar for an employer to clear. That standard was reaffirmed in a case known as Provena St. Joseph Medical Center in 2007. So in the MV Transportation case, the board has given employers much more latitude to make unilateral changes to terms and conditions of employment, even when a collective bargaining agreement is in effect. By essentially dropping the clear and unmistakable waiver standard in most circumstances and adopting a contract coverage standard in its place,